anybody else liking the fact that it's Christmas time?
Yes. Yes. I love it. The lights, when we set up our lights at home, like the Christmas tree goes up, we start decorating the house, other people's houses start looking festive, businesses look festive. Thank you guys. It helped us make this place look a little more festive. I feel like we could probably triple our lights and we could get away with it, but I love the lights. I feel a little bit like every Christmas time, a little bit like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz when she steps out of her black and white Kansas world. You know, when the tornado picks up her house from the farm in Kansas and drops the house in Oz, kills the Wicked Witch, and the witch's feet are sticking out from under the house. But you remember when Dorothy steps out from the house and it's the first movie that was done in Technicolor, and all of a sudden it goes from this kind of brownish, sepia-looking black and white to full, vibrant color of Oz. That's what I feel like at Christmas time, and that's gotta be what the man in Bethsaida that we're gonna read about today, that's gotta be a little bit what his day was like when he goes from being blind and living in darkness to Jesus opening up his eyes, and suddenly he can see. He'd been living in, not black and white, he'd been living in black. And all of a sudden he can see color. But the way Jesus does this in his life, I think is very instructive to us. And I'm hoping and praying that this Christmas season, God does more in our hearts than you know, we sing some cute Christmas carols and we exchange gifts. Those are good things. They're great things. But I'm praying that God will really open our eyes and open our hearts to some new things that he's doing. And I think our very world is fixing to come alive for us. So we're going to look at Mark 8, 22 through 26 today, as Jesus helps this man who has been blind. We don't know that he was born blind. In fact, chances are he wasn't, based on some things he says, but he's been blind for a long time. And Jesus is going to help this man take some steps toward home. And I think he's going to help us take some steps as well. So Mark 8, 22. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And they came to Bethsaida. Remember, he's been here before. This is the hometown of several of Jesus' disciples. Peter and Andrew are from Bethsaida. James and John are from Bethsaida. They're fishermen. The actual town, Bethsaida, means house of fish or fishing house. And this is a fishing village. So here they are at Bethsaida. And some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. Now, how do you suppose they brought him, this blind man? What? Chances are they're leading him, right? They've got him by the hand, or they've got a hand on his shoulder. The blind man's probably not just doing this, right? Coming to find Jesus. But they bring him. They're leading this blind man to Jesus. I bet Jesus' reputation has preceded. Probably this blind man is excited, maybe not, don't know. But they bring him to Jesus and they beg him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And this is kind of weird to me. And when he had spit on his eyes, what? When he had spit on his eyes, don't do that to your brother. Don't spit in your brother's eyes. That would be a bad idea, right? Right? You're like, we're just walking out. We read it in the Bible today. He spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him. And he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Jesus does this a lot, doesn't he? Where he'll heal somebody, and then he doesn't want to send them back into the crowd. He's not trying to draw attention to himself through the healing. He's ministering to a person. And we've said this in weeks past. Jesus cares about the person. It's not about the show. It's not about the sensationalism or just how cool it can look when Jesus heals. It's fantastic when Jesus heals. I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe he still opens blind eyes, not just spiritually blind eyes that we're going to talk about today, but physical blindness. I believe Jesus does this, and he heals people. I don't believe he does it to show off or just to make us look good. He does it because he cares about people. He cares about you, and he opens our spiritual eyes as well because he cares and he has purpose for us. The first thing that Jesus does, there's three things. We're going to call them step one, step two, and step three that Jesus does with this man that can teach us a little bit of how to trust Jesus when our eyes are blind and Jesus is wanting to open them. And when we've been living in blindness or living in darkness or living in brokenness, stuck in our inability, and Jesus is wanting to lead us somewhere. It's not just to lead you out of a village. It's because Jesus has a direction for you to go. And the first step that this man had to do, had to take, the first step was actually totally initiated by Jesus because he took the man by the hand. Remember, he'd likely been led by his friends, probably by the hand. Jesus takes the hand of the blind man and he leads him out of the village. Step one, trust Jesus with permission to lead. Trust Jesus with permission to lead your life, to take you by the hand when you can't see. That's scary. Where are you taking me, Jesus? What are you doing? To lead you when you cannot see and to lead you where you cannot see. Trust Jesus. And we can get all hung up on all of the things. I can't see the way forward, but I probably should be feeling my way forward. I probably should be clawing my way forward or whatever I'm stumbling over, but I'm moving forward. Just trust Jesus to lead. He takes him by the hand. He leads him out of the village. And suddenly the other characters in this story disappear. The crowd, the group, were they a group of friends? Were they a group of people that were tired of the man begging? I don't know. But this group of people that brought him to Jesus, we don't hear about them anymore. Because it's not about the crowd. It's not about the other people. It's about Jesus taking you by the hand. He's taking you and he's just asking you to trust him as he begins to lead you. And you know what happens as he leads you? You have to take some steps, right? If I would have been thinking ahead of time, there's a game that I've done at Halloween time where we could do it almost any time where you take somebody there totally blindfolded and then there's this big obstacle course that they have to make their way through and you guide them. You have to tell them. So they get to look at it, right? They look at this big obstacle course. They see, like, I got to go climb over this bench. And I've got all this, and then there's some stuff that's kind of high. There might even be something they have to crawl under. And they blindfold them all up. You're like, okay, are you ready? And then you move all the obstacles. So now there's nothing in front of them. But then you lead them forward, and you're like, a little higher, a little higher. You know, and they're trying to climb over nothing. And they're worried about, are they going to trip over something? Are they going to fall? Jesus doesn't really do that to us, does he? Or he like psychs us out. But he takes us by the hand and he starts to walk, and all we have to do is walk where he's leading. And I love that he's given us his word. He hasn't left us blind. He's given us his word, and we just can follow. He's given us one another. He sets the lonely into families. He encourages us. Like the whole scripture, I think in Hebrews, that don't forsake the gathering together. He knows we need to be together. Together with his word. Together with one another. Together submitting to Jesus. But Jesus is the one who takes us by the hand. And so he takes this man and he leads him out of the town. Question is simple. Do you trust Jesus enough to let him take you by the hand? Not do you trust Jesus enough to go to Africa? Do you trust Jesus enough to move to South America? Do you trust Jesus enough for all these grand things? Do you trust Jesus enough to let him take you by the hand? It's not about the people who brought you. It's not about the people who brought you this far. It's about Jesus taking your hand. Step two. Trust Jesus with permission to access you. This is where it gets dangerous. I really hope Jesus doesn't decide to spit in my eyes. Full disclosure. Maybe if I was blind and Jesus explained fully what was happening. I don't get this part. Why did he do this? I don't know. I don't know why he did this. But he spits on his eyes and then he lays his hands on the man. We know from later on here, it says he touched his eyes again. That this first time, he didn't just lay his hands on his shoulders. He laid his hands on his eyes. They're closed, I'm sure. Hoping this isn't like in the eyes. I don't think so. He lays his hands on his eyes. This is vulnerable. If you're the blind man, this is vulnerable. This is different than taking you by the hand. It's literally, he's taking you by the face. And he's laying his hand on your eye. Jesus touches our inability. He touches our brokenness. He touches our blindness. Those areas in our lives where we're blind, where we're broken, where we are disabled and we're stuck. He touches us right there. And you could kind of dig your heels in right there and go, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't tell what you're doing. I can't see what you're doing, but this is getting too vulnerable. This is getting too close. And you can try to push him away. I'm just going to say, don't do that. Fighting God is not usually a good idea. The invitation is to trust Jesus with permission to access you. Not just in the areas where, like what I was saying, come ready to contribute. Come ready to participate. Come ready to share scriptures. Or I was praying this week and I felt like God wanted to say this to us. Come ready for those things. Those are fun. That's exciting. It's not quite as exciting when Jesus says, you've got this area of unforgiveness in your life and you're blind to it and you don't even know it's there and I want to touch this. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand, Jesus. This is getting vulnerable. But my mom, and I got permission to share this story, okay? This is not about unforgiveness. I'm not outing my mom. She has had cataracts building in her eyes for several years. Now, several of you would know my mom, Miriam. She's awesome, prophetic woman, loves to pray. Hears from God. I love my mom. Sometimes a little jealous of my mom because By the time I was in third grade, I had to have glasses. And then my eyes got worse and worse, and I have really terrible vision, and you can't tell that because I wear contacts all the time. If I was wearing lenses, like glasses, you could see just how thick my lenses have to be. Even with all the modern stuff, they still get really thick out on the edge because my vision is terrible. My mom has had pretty much 20/20 vision her whole life. And then in recent years, it's gotten as bad as like 50/20, which is still not bad. But something was going on, and there was a cloudiness in her vision that no corrective lenses could fix. And so she goes to her doctor, and he says, yeah, I can't remember which eye it is, one of them, the cataract, is getting pretty bad. So she just had cataract surgery last week or the week before. And I called my mom on Friday, I think it was, and I said, Mom, can I share your story? Because what happened is she came back and she got the worst eye fixed. And she said, what's so amazing is early in the morning and in the evening as the sun is going down with all the blues, like the deep blues in the sky, she goes, I didn't realize how much that cataract was impacting my vision. I couldn't see what was really out there. She goes, I'm seeing the deepest blues that I didn't even know I wasn't seeing. She goes, and she starts naming. My mom is artistic. She's like, I'm seeing periwinkle. And I'm going, periwinkle, periwinkle. Blue. I'm seeing a blue. And then I'm seeing this other deep blue. And I'm deep blue. I can get periwinkle. I have to go look it up. She goes, I'm seeing color that I didn't know. She goes, I didn't realize how that cataract was making my vision look yellow. And everything in my world was becoming yellow. She goes, now the bad eye is fixed and the one that wasn't so bad isn't. She goes, I can look out of my good eye and see color. And then I look out of the bad eye and everything goes more gray. And I didn't even realize. Isn't that amazing? When we let the doctor, capital D, operate on our vision, we'll start to see things we didn't even know we weren't seeing. Pretty cool. So Jesus touches the man's eyes, and then he asks him a really smart question. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? And the man says, yes, I see men. This is why I think he wasn't born blind, because he knew what he was seeing, because he could compare men to trees. Trees walking. I love holiday movies. I love Christmas movies. I love everything Christmas. And we just watched part of Babes in Toyland the other day, where they're in the forest of no return, and all these, they look like oak trees, only there's, and it's old, it's an old movie, like from maybe the 1960s, so there's clearly men inside of these kind of rubberized trees, and they're singing, you, something in the forest of no return, and the trees are walking around, you can tell there's guys inside these trees who can only walk so far, so they can't, it's like the trees are hobbling around. The man sees men like trees walking. So Jesus touches him again. So easy to just kind of cruise through the story. He can see, but he can't see clearly. And I can relate to this, because if I don't have my contacts in or I'm not wearing glasses, you guys could look a little bit like trees walking. I can't see detail. What? Blobs. I see blobs. I can see color just fine, but it all blends together. It's just like this blurry mess. Blobs. But the man is starting to see. He can see what he couldn't see before, but Jesus isn't done. This is step 3, you guys. Trust Jesus with the process. Trust Jesus with the process. Jesus evaluates and he touches his eyes again. There's an invitation here. Try out your vision. What can you see? It's like when I just say, as we're worshiping, what do you feel like God is saying? Scripture, we're asking God to speak. Our scripture is coming to your mind. We're asking God to speak by his Spirit. Are there prophetic ideas coming to your mind? I tend to see pictures. I'll see ideas and then share those ideas. We were praying, I think it was in November, early November. Am I right? Christy, I think you shared a picture that you saw while we were praying of multicolored woven placemat that has actually filled my prayer life ever since. And even the placemat idea I'm starting to get a handle on, I think. When we're trying out our vision and you go, I don't even know what this means. I don't even see it clearly, but I'm seeing more than I did before. There's an invitation from Jesus. What do you see? Tell me what you see. And he evaluates and he reaches for the man's eyes again. Jesus evaluates and he reaches right for our inability and even our growing ability. And he says, okay, I'm not done. I want to touch you there again. But Jesus, you've already opened my eyes. Yes, but there's more. But Jesus, didn't we already do this? Yes, but I'm not done. But Jesus, shouldn't I just claim my healing now? After all, shouldn't I just confess it? I'm healed. I'm the healed of the Lord. Confess it. Jesus is like, let's go better than that. How about if I actually touch you again? But Jesus, you want me to be vulnerable again? You're opening my eyes to this blind area in my life, and I've opened it up to you, and now you want to touch it there again? Yes. Especially in the area of our hearts and the areas of our vision, like spiritual vision, to be able to see. God often works in process, and he often is working through the process. I want to make sure we don't miss that. Jesus often works in process, and he often works through the process. What Jesus is doing in your life isn't just about, yes, I was blind and now I see, but it's the process of what we're learning as he's opening our eyes. Could Jesus have healed him instantaneously? Real question. Yes, I'm seeing nods around the room. Yes, Jesus could have healed him instantaneously. In fact, he does that a lot. But with this man, he doesn't. And what we're going to see as we keep moving through this is, why did Mark tell the story this way? It's because Jesus is also opening the eyes of Jesus' disciples in process. And he's revealing things to them little by little. And he's working through the process. So after trusting Jesus to take him by the hand, step one, trusting Jesus with access to his brokenness, to his inability, step two, and trusting Jesus with the process, step three, the man's vision is restored, and he can see everything clearly. The Greek word there is kind of fun, telaugos, which literally means clearly, as a clearly at a distance. So like 20/20 vision, or better than, maybe better than 20/20. My mom's eyes for a lot of her life were actually better than 20/20. Told you I was jealous of her. Oh, he can see everything clearly. And then he says, go home. Don't even go back into the village. He says, he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. For those willing to let Jesus lead and evaluate and restore, it's time to go forward, not backward. It's not time to go back into your blindness, back into the place where people had to, you know, other people were having to lead you around, but not home. Jesus is helping this man take steps toward home. And I think there's a homeward boundness that God has for us. Obviously, ultimate home for us is with the Lord. But as we just follow in obedience to his word, there's this onward leading toward home that he has for us. And it's time for us. Not just first steps toward home, just next steps toward home. Where have you been? Maybe for some, it literally is first step toward home. Yeah, my first step is saying, Jesus, I'm trusting you to take lead. I'm trusting you. Take me by the hand. A friend of mine, he's with the Lord now. He's a great evangelist. Seemed like whenever he would preach, he could preach about anything. Like he could tell you a story about his dog and somebody give their life to Jesus. I'm like, man, there's such a gifting of evangelism on his life. And he would say over and over, I'd hear him saying, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. That was his statement. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you grew up around church, just because you step foot in the door of a church doesn't make you a Christian. It's Jesus as the Lord of your life. When you're saying, yes, Jesus, take the lead. Jesus, take my hand. Jesus, I'm submitting my life to you. I recognize what you have done for me. And I say yes. That's what makes you Christian. And for some of us, that might be the step. Okay, take my hand, Jesus, lead. I'm done leading, you lead. For some of us, it's access to those broken areas in our lives is the next step. You go, but I've already done that. Been there, done that. Jesus is saying, yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, and we need to keep going there. That's the next step. For some of us, we already know where we need to go, and Jesus is saying, look, you can see, you know what to do. Head toward home. Don't go back. Go forward. And we already know. Like probably as I'm saying this, you already know, like, oh yeah, next steps. Okay. Jesus restores our vision. Maybe he's doing that right now. Even in ways we didn't even know we had lost it. Maybe your eyes are opening up to things. You go, man, never knew I wasn't seeing that. Never even realized I was blind to that. But Jesus restores our vision. Full technicolor. I'm going to land the plane here. We can trust Jesus, you guys. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. We can trust Jesus and proceed with the vision that he is giving. You can proceed with the vision that he's giving. So is there a step you know God is asking you to take? Just say yes to you, Jesus. Yes. If you're willing, from your own heart and from your own mouth, you just say yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you can lead. Yes, Jesus, you can have access to every part of me. Even that part of me. Yes, Jesus, I trust you with the process.